Of Psalms 136 and verse 1. It says that, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. And I know that during this Thanksgiving season, it can be difficult to give God thanks. But I think that can be resolved if we just do the math. And so I want to use for a subject, count your blessings. Amen. Count your blessings. Because it is easy, and we like to hold others accountable, but who is going to hold us accountable if we don't count our blessings? Counting our blessings is important because we must always recognize God's goodness. We must always be reminded of his generosity. We must always remember the lyrics of the songwriter so long ago when he said, count your blessings. And when I think about counting, to count means to take into account. Amen. To take something into account. It means to add. To count means to include. Amen. And the aim of our sermon is for us to be CPAs, amen, Christian CPAs, for us to become good at keeping count in our lives of the blessings that God has bestowed upon each and every one of us. Because if we are not good accountants, then some blessings may go unrecognized. Some blessings may go unnoticed. Some blessings may slip through the cracks. Amen. Some blessings could go unaccounted for if we don't remember to count. And I know we do a lot of counting. We count our money. Amen. We count sheep. Some people go to sleep by counting their sheep, and they go to sleep by counting their lucky stars or whatever. But I'm not talking about our books. I'm talking about our blessings. Yes, a lot of counting is going on. We count our books. We even count ballots. Matter of fact, as we speak, there are some ballots still being counted. But I'm not talking about books or ballots. I'm talking about blessings. Amen. The blessings. Do you ever count your blessings? Amen. And as we look at this psalm, we know that it was a pilgrim psalm. It was a psalm that many believe that was a call and response psalm, a psalm where the leader would say the first part and the congregation would say the last part or the second part. He would say, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, and for he is good." And the people would say, "His mercy endureth forever." And it sounds more like a responsive reading, but all 36 verses include, some say, the priest and the people. It could be a responsive reading. It could be a refrain. It could be a song, or it could be a scripture that is used. The song, as the leader sings, as they praise the Lord and worship him, the leader would worship, then the people would respond by saying, "For his mercy endureth forever." And the best way to remember something, I find, is to put it to music, to put it to song, to put it in a song. And that's what God did. That's what the psalmist did. He took what God had done to them, for them, and put the blessings into a song. And as we think about that, we need to know that this is a song about God's creative power. It is a song about God delivering the people out of bondage in Egypt, a song about their deliverance from Babylonian captivity. It is a song about God's goodness in sustaining us. And so as we look at this 136th number of the psalm, we want to focus on, it says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord." And the psalmist is calling them to confess God's covenant faithfulness. One writer says, because it says that he is the Lord, the capital L-O-R-D. He is Yahweh, or the more personal name would be Jehovah. He was they were in a covenant with God. They were his covenant people. And this psalm acknowledges God's covenant faithfulness. Amen. And as he said what God had did for Israel, the refrain would be, "For his mercy endureth forever." And so as we think about that, we want to us to see that it's, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Amen. For his mercy endureth forever. His mercy, when I think about God's mercy, that word mercy means that God is it means, it speaks of God's kindness. It speaks of God's pity. Many versions may say God's loving kindness. No matter what happened, God loves us. Amen. God is a merciful God. He says that the Lord is good. And when he says that the Lord is good, he's speaking of regarding God's moral attributes. We know that God's, when we talk about attributes, we're talking about those qualities or characteristics of God, those attributes of God. We talk about his holiness. There are four that is known, his holiness. The second one is really are his righteousness or justice. His third one is what we have in this verse, his goodness. And then there's a fourth, which is truth. God, those are all reflective of God's character and qualities that he has. And so what the psalmist does is he tells them that God has been good. And he goes and he makes a list about the things that God had, what he did for Israel. It says that God is good. He is. And then it says his mercy endureth forever. That means that his mercy will always be there. It will never run out. It will always last. His mercy is eternal, God's mercy. And so he says in verse 2 that, oh, give thanks unto the Lord of Lords. And when he says the Lord of Lords, he is talking not about, I mean, when he talk about in verse 3, the Lord of Lords, I'll get to that next. In verse 2, he talks about, thanks be unto God, for he is the God of gods. That does not mean that God is the God of idols, but it means that God is reflective of those religious leaders who were believed to be guides. Amen. And when you look at Deuteronomy 10:17, it tells you, talks about that. When you look at John chapter 10 and verse 34, it talks about how Jesus said, ye are gods. It didn't mean they were to be worshipped, but it meant that they were religious guides. And then in verse 3, he says, he is the Lord of Lords. That means that he is the Lord. That word, lowercase Lord, it means magistrates, or it means government officials, could be the president, the governor, the mayor. He rules over them. Amen. God is the God of gods. He is the Lord of Lords, and his mercy endureth forever. And it says in verse 40, God is a miracle working God. He said, you alone, amen, you alone doeth wonders, doeth great wonders. You do miracles. Amen. Do you need a miracle? Amen. God does miracles. The one that we serve does miracles. You alone. Amen. And no one else can do it. And then in verse 5, he talks about the fact that God made the heavens. Amen. He made the heavens. He made the sky. In verse number 6, he talks about that God made the earth. He stretched it out and made the ocean as a foundation. Amen. Amen. The earth became above the ocean when God said, let the dry land appear. Then the earth that was submerged came up, and now the ocean becomes the foundation, and the earth, so that we could use the earth, walk on the earth, plant, and use the dirt of the earth. We know that the Bible tells us that God, he made the great lights, according to verse 7. He put the great lights up there, and he specifies it in verse number 8. He talks about the sun. In verse number 9, he talks about the sun and the moon. God, these are God's great lights. God made this. God is, amen, for his mercy endureth forever. Amen. And in verse 10, he talks about how God had delivered them out of Egyptian bondage by, he smote the firstborn of Egypt. Amen. There was that 10th plague that made Pharaoh let the people go. And verse 11 says that he brought them out. He brought them out of Egypt. Amen. He brought them out. And verse number 12 lets us know how he brought them out. Amen. He brought them out with a strong hand. Amen. God has strength in his hands. He brought them out with stretched out arms. Amen. God is the kind of a God that when we're in trouble, he don't just fold his arms, but he stretches out his arms to get us and help us. We serve a God who has stretched out arms. Amen. And I don't know about you, but I'm leaning right now. Amen. On his everlasting arms. That's the kind of a God that we serve, for his mercy endureth forever. He brought them out. And verse 15 tells us that he drowned Pharaoh and his host or his armies in the Red Sea. Amen. He drowned them there in verse 15. And then he parted the sea. After he had parted it, he led the children of Israel through the midst of the sea. And verse 16 tells us that he led them through the wilderness and led them through the darkness. He led them through the day by a cloud and a pillar of fire by night. Daylight, darkness, God led them through. Amen. For his mercy endureth forever. Amen. In verse 17, he talks about how he smote great kings. Amen. He smote great kings. Amen. It's better not to have a king, but to be a great king. He smote great kings. And lest I hold you too long, verse number 18, he smote famous kings, and he named those kings. In verse 18, he talks about Sihon of the Amorites. Amen. The Amorites' iniquity finally got pulled. God smote them. And then we know in verse 20, it was Og of Bashan. He was the God who he slew them. He slew them. And many of you know in Bible study that these were giants. God is a God who delivered them. And then in verse 21, it tells us that he took what was theirs, and in verse 22, and gave it to Israel. He took the inheritance, he took their heritage and made it an inheritance of Israel. That's the kind of God we serve. Why would he do that? Because his mercy endureth forever. It never stops. Amen. And it goes on to talk about God not only doing all those things, but he brought them out of Babylonian captivity. Amen. Amen. We believe this is a part of the post-exilic psalm. It is how he brought them out of Babylonian, out of exile. And verse number 24 tells us that he delivered them from their enemies. Amen. The Babylonians had them. And even when they were in their lowest state, when you're at your lowest, amen, when they were in their lowest point in verse 23, when they were down and they had problems, when they were in trouble, the Bible says that God, amen, came to the rescue. Why would he do it? Because his mercy endureth forever. And we need to recognize that his mercy is something, his loving kindness does not run out. Amen. The Bible tells us that he took care of their enemies. And in verse 25, he puts food for all flesh. Amen. He giveth food to everybody. Amen. Amen. To all the animals, the mammals, amen, the birds, the whales, the human being. God feeds all flesh. That's what verse 25 tells us. And it tells us that he is to be given thanks to in verse 26. And he concludes and he lets us know that why would God do all these things? Why would God deliver them, be there for them? Because his mercy endureth forever. So he says, in verse 1, O give thanks unto the Lord. Notice he didn't say, O give praise unto the Lord or bless the Lord. No, he said, give thanks to the Lord. Now, in general, people don't always give thanks like they should. It's interesting that even Israel had to be told to do it. It's a responsibility of ours. We have to be accountable to give thanks. And people don't always do it. Amen. But people and places have to be taught to do it. Amen. We know that adults have to be told, and we know that children have to be trained to, when you do something for them, you say, what do you say? Thank you. Amen. But we look at places, we find out that when you go in and out of your grocery store, out of the malls, on some doors, you'll find the word thank you. Amen. Because amen, they know that it's important to do that. You may pay a bill, and at the end of the bill, it's going to say, thank you for making this payment. Amen. Thank you. But after Israel seen all the goodness of God, what we find out is that at the end of it all, in verse 26, he says that we are to give thanks unto the God of heaven, because he is the one who is worthy of our praise. He is the one who is worthy of our worship. But when you talk about thanks, amen, in general, people don't give thanks. They have to be taught, amen. But we think about the goodness of God. We had just read about the goodness of God, but we also need to close by looking at the generosity, God's generosity. I didn't do that good, but God's generosity. Amen. God is a generous. God has been good to us, and we should show gratitude to God. Amen. And that's why the psalmist said he, as you look at that whole list, as he named all those things that God had just performed in their history, it says to me that somewhere Israel was keeping records. Somebody was keeping record. Amen. Somebody was counting their blessings. Someone had made a conscious effort to keep record of the goodness of Jesus. And at the end of the verse, amen, we see that Israel did that. They concluded that we need to thank God. Amen. You see, when we think about thank you means to show appreciation for or to show gratitude. Amen. Thank you. Amen. That word gratitude means to return. It means to return the kindness. Amen. Somebody's been kind to you, be kind to them. Return. That's what we talk about, gratitude. The difference between thanksgiving, being thankful and showing gratitude. Gratitude is in response. So it's to give, it's a response to kindness. And the worship leaders needed to know that we need to thank God as a people. We need to return. We shouldn't just get the blessings and take God for granted, but we should show some gratitude. And at the end of the psalm, he said, God is the one who is to be thanked because God did it all in verse 26. He made the list. But there are persons who don't always give thanks. We have people now who breathe God's air and soak up God's sunshine and will lay on a beach and let the sun hit their backs and they'll soak up the sun. They will look at the stars at night and take advantage of the show that God puts on and won't even become a Christian, won't even go to church on Sunday, won't even give back to the Lord. What kind of gratitude is that? To say and acknowledge that there is a God, but I'm not going to show him any thanks. I'm not going to return any kindness to him. I'm not going. It's just like the other day I saw somebody, they was struggling and the kids was trying to get a door open and the dad had an arm full of food and he couldn't get the door open. So I went and ran and opened the door for them and let them in. You know, he went right on in and just kept on going. He didn't look back and said, thank you, sir, or didn't part his lips. Amen. There are people in this world who don't show thankfulness. And when you look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, at the end of verse 2, the second to the last word is unthankfulness. That's one of the things that's going to characterize the last days, unthankfulness. You can do something for people and they won't even say thank you. Some people are users. Some people are manipulative. Some people are so used to using the system till they expect it. Amen. But God said, do not take me for granted. I am to be thanked. Oh, give. Notice what he said. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. That's our responsibility. How do we show God thank you for all the good things that he has done for us? All you got to do is just count. All you got to do is count it up. You may think you're having a bad day. You may think you're having a hard time. But when you think about how good he is, when you think about his mercy, when you think about, amen, God is to be praised. God is to be worshipped. But here he's saying there should be a conscious response from us to God. Oh, give thanks. To give thanks means to extend. It means to use something held on, to hold on. It means to use a hand. It means to worship, if you will. You can worship the Lord by thanking him. Amen. You can. It is to use, lift your hands and surrender and thank God. Amen. Amen. God is to be thanks. We got to use, we got to express our thanks to God because he has been good to us. And you may think that you may think that God has hadn't been good, but the truth of the matter is, but he is the one. You may think that things are so bad that I don't know what to do, but God is to be praised. All you got to do is do the math. Amen. Think about the job that God has given us. Amen. Think about the health he gives us to go to the job. Think about the favor he gave us to get the job. Think about the gift that he gave you and I. Think about what God has given us. Amen. This season, we need to be thankful. We need to show God some thanks. We don't need to walk around in his world and not show any appreciation to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God is worthy to be praised. And all we have to do is just do the math. You can do the math and you can count yourself out of depression. You may think this is going wrong, but just think about what's going right. God is blessing you. God has, amen. And no matter how bad it is, as Eleanor used to say to me, it could be worse. Amen. God is good. And the reason why a lot of people don't recognize their goodness is because simply because they fail to do the math. But if you do the math, you'll find out that your good days, amen, outweigh your bad days. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Don't let any slip through the cracks and go unnoticed. Make sure that what God does, he said, Lord, I thank you. I may not be where I like to be, but amen, but I am where I am today by your grace. I need to thank God. Amen. I'm thinking about unthankfulness is a bad thing. It's a terrible thing. When I think about the man in the Bible who wanted to be cleansed, he got healed. And God, in Luke chapter 17 and verse 13, we had 10 lepers needing help. They all went to Jesus and said, Jesus, thou son of David, Jesus, have mercy on us. And God said, go show yourself to the priest. And they, as they went, the Bible says that they were cleansed. They were cleansed. But one of them, in verse 15 of Luke 17, he decided to turn around and go back to Jesus. And he fell on his face, at Jesus' feet. And you know what the Bible says he did? He gave thanks. He glorified God and he gave thanks. And Jesus was taken by that. He said in verse 17, were there not 10 cleansed? Come on. Have I not blessed you? Have I not made a way out of no way? Didn't I bring you through seen and unseen danger? If it had not been for me, wouldn't you be, who could you turn to in the midnight hour? Come on, think about it. When nobody else would help you, when nobody else would listen, when nobody else would be there for you, God says, you can call upon me in the midnight hour. You can go to me in prayer. And I was the one that brought you out and brought you through and delivered you and helped you. I'm the one that said, I'd never leave you nor forsake you. I'm the one that made you more than a conqueror. I'm the one when friends are few and when family forget you and frenemies forsake you. I am the God of God. And don't ever take me for granted. The church needs to know that we must worship. Oh, give thanks. Hey, amen. He didn't just say give thanks. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. And this Thanksgiving, we need to thank God, not just for the turkey, but for the maker of the turkey. We need to thank God, not just for the creation, but for his creator, for the creator. We need to thank God, not just for the turkey and the yams and the gravy and the greens or whatever you may have on your table. Some of us can have turkey. We can have duck and ham. Some may have all three because we blessed. No matter how bad things are, we are blessed. And God says, this Thanksgiving, I want you to do what verse 36 says. I want you to not only remember the things that I've done, but what I want you to do is I want you to say, Lord, I want to thank you for you. He says, when it's all said and done, that I want to thank the God of heaven. For he, when I need a miracle, he'll be there. When I need deliverance, he'll be there. When I'm in slavery in Egypt, he'll be there. When I'm in exile in Babylon, he'll be there. God is a God that'll take us through the Red Sea, and he will be our very present help in the time of the storm. And he, all you got to do is call on him. All you got to do is count your blessings, name them one by one, not just a big thing, but count the details. Yes, he blessed me. Amen. Amen. Just thank God. Amen. You may eat turkey this Thursday, but thank God that you can feed your own self. That's a blessing. Thank God that you got a fork. Thank God that you're not homeless. Amen. You're not on a bridge. Thank God that you're not going to be hungry. Amen. Amen. We should look out for others, but we need to count how many blessings. We have no right or no reason to ever be down and out. Most of the people watching this right now are blessed beyond measure. We don't know what it's like to miss a meal. Amen. If you're like me, you probably need to miss a few. But the fact of the matter is, we don't know what it's like. But God, as we meet with our family and friends, we know that God is the kind of a God that is worthy to be thanked. And so, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for salvation, oh God. We know that your grace and mercy and forgiveness are available for us. We praise you. We magnify your name. We glorify you, oh God. But more than anything, we thank the Lord. We live our lives and show appreciation for all that he has done and will do for us. Yes, God is grace and God is good, and we thank him for our food. By his hands, not by our heads, we all appear. Don't let the devil steal the lyrics. By his hands, we all are fed. Give us this day our daily bread. And thank you, Master, for all that you've done and yet willing to do. Yes, oh, give thanks. Thanks unto the Lord. Why? Because he's good. His mercy endureth forever. You don't stop the sun from shining because I don't do what I ought to do. You don't stop feeding me because I don't go to church or because I don't do this or that. You don't make the sun stop shining. His mercy endureth forever. No matter what I go through, God's mercy keeps blessing me. And I need to say, thank you, Lord. After some things, mistakes I've made and some things I've done, I should have been wiped off the map. But your mercy, your loving kindness has spared me. And I want to say, thank you. If no one else praises you, I'm going to be like that one that returned and fell down at your feet and said, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. And if there's somebody that don't know you as a Christian, we ask that you would help them to answer the door to the knock. Where you say, as I stand at the door and knock, if any man hear my voice, let him come, and I will come in unto him. accept him by faith, if you believe that Jesus died and rose, say, yes, I believe. And I want to be a Christian. And I want to receive some more of these blessings. Amen. I want to become a part of the covenant community of Christ. I receive by faith right now. I accept salvation and ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. For you have been good. In the name of Jesus, I pray. And now, may the Lord bless thee. May the Lord keep thee. May the Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift his countenance upon thee and give you peace. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Keep counting in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.
All because of you.